In its simplest definition, or description if you like, an asset management system is a system or a framework for how we make decisions. How we actually convert demand through to value through the organization, utilizing the assets that support that value delivery. Another term that you need to be comfortable with is the term assurance. Assurance happens to be one of the fundamentals in the ISO 55000, but assurance, people get really caught up on it. Assurance really is confidence. If I've got the capabilities of both my physical and non-physical assets in my organization supporting service delivery or capability, how confident am I that they will continue to do so? So ISO 55001 provides a framework that is very prescriptive on how to do that. But it's really important to understand that ISO 55001 is a management system supporting asset management. It doesn't tell you how to do asset management at all. That is up to your organization to determine. Every single management system or management system standard on earth comes down to four elements. Pretty straightforward. Plan, do, check, and act. It was made very famous in the 60s through Total Quality Management with the gentleman by the name of Deming. You can look it up. But generally speaking, every single organization on earth is setting out to do just this. It sets out to plan to deliver value of some type, be it a product, a service, or both. It then actually executes the work or does the work. It then moves around and checks and looks to see, did it actually achieve the value? And based on how it checks its work, it will determine, does it need to change anything by way of acting? So plan, do, check, and act. A couple of insights to this model before we get into further detail. Planning really looks at the why and the what of the organization. Doing is more of the how, the who, and the when. That also separates, of course, the planning versus scheduling, if you like. When we consider checking in the third quadrant, we also need to be mindful of this. When we're setting out executing our work or executing our plans, we should really be able to do that because we have predetermined that that is what we need to do. That, if you're looking at performance, is very much a lag indicator, measuring the execution of our plans. But checking also needs to tie back to the why and the what of our plans or the intent. Did we achieve the intent of the plan? Did we achieve the strategy? This is very important because what can happen if we have an organization that focuses very much on the management of assets? We always measure in lag. And really, that doesn't move an organization forward. Good for management, but leadership takes consideration and looks at it and says, did we achieve value from that delivery, that infrastructure project, whatever it might be? And then, of course, acting is the ability to change should there be a variance on how we deliver our work and the value we get from our projects, if you like. Now, interesting enough, the international standard has identified that in Section 8, there's a topic there called the management of change. What has been really refreshing is in 2021, when the structure of all management systems changed in ISO, they also included planning for change. So it makes sense, doesn't it? Planning for change up the top in terms of leadership, and of course the management of change down in operations. It all fits. So again, plan, do, check, and act. If they're the four words you remember in considering an asset management system, and we'll talk about this later in this course, they are the keys to actually getting value from putting a structure in place in the first place. But what you'll also find, and it's fair to say, most organizations focus on the doing. Close to that, or coming close second, they would be focusing very much on planning. Maybe a few steps back from that, they're actually very interested in the checking, although mostly lag indicators, not lead indicators. And then, of course, finally, quite a few steps back is the ability to change or to act, if you like. So again, plan, do, check, and act. Okay, when we refer to decision making or the governance and controls that go with decision making, what we're really identifying is it's one thing to make a decision in an organization, but does that decision contribute towards greater outcomes by way of service delivery, as an example? Or very much is it a very isolated view on what that decision might be in favor of a particular function of the business or an asset? Good asset management decision making needs to be done within a framework, because as an organization becomes larger, more complex, maybe even geographically diverse, bilingual, etc., it's your asset management system that will help you do that. Because again, to achieve the desired balance of cost, risk, and performance, my view of that versus the collective view of that is very likely to differ. And through your system, you want to make sure, through an assurance or a confidence in the outcomes, that you do have that consistency in decision making. Okay, we talked about what an asset management system is: plan, do, check, act, the coordinated activity. And if you're going down an ISO 55001 path, all pre-described levels, and of course the different shall statements. Asset management framework, on the other hand, really, the word that comes to mind is scalability. If I have, for instance, an asset management system in my organization that may comply or certify against 55001, well and good. But if I start to introduce maybe new services, new products, I might enter into an alliance with another entity or a joint venture, a asset management framework enables me to take that asset management system and repurpose it in different commercial contexts. And the first example that comes to mind would be I win a commercial contract. So rather than rebuilding an entire asset management system just for that contract, you would use your own, and your asset management framework would call out how these differences are being applied. So finally, think of an asset management framework as an economy of scale. You don't reinvent your asset management system for every piece of work you win, every product you have, or every service. It is enable you to scale appropriately, because at the end of the day, this needs to add value to the organization. It isn't just about compliance. Your asset management policy is an overarching document. It's a statement of why are we doing asset management in the first instance. You know, something along the lines of, we will do asset management because we see it as a way to provide value to our stakeholders, customer, community, product, services, all that. Those familiar with quality management, 9001, very similar. But it's really important in your asset management policy that it isn't just treated as a single sheet of paper outside the CEO's desk. It is really about a statement of intent that is traceable all the way down through to your operations and back up again. Again, plan, do, check, act. My hint and insight for anyone going down the journey around a compliant management system standard would be to look at sections 4 through to 10 of your ISO 55001 and write a statement against each of those sections in your policy, and you can't go wrong. It'll always then link back to your management system, but also it is measurable down to your operations of how you do asset management. Something to think about. A strategic asset management plan, or SAMP as it's also known out in industry, is probably the most misrepresented, misunderstood document on the face of the earth. A SAMP, quite simply, as an input, takes the organizational objectives, and as an output, creates what we refer to as asset management objectives. Between those two considerations of input and output, we look at the context of the organization, looking at the approach for, say, prioritization, describing the services and assets within that scope, and of course, what is important to that particular organization. It's also important to realize and take advantage of the fact that you can have multiple SAMPs in an organization. You could have a SAMP that goes across and sits above each division. That could also be an advantage, because then each division takes in the same organizational objectives, but each division can put out its own asset management objectives for what is important to them. because some divisions might have more of a intangible asset perspective, some might have more of a physical asset perspective. A SAMP may also be known as something else. We've had a client before who has a 20-year infrastructure plan, and they were setting out to actually create a SAMP, but what became very apparent very quickly was they already had a SAMP. With minimal change, they're actually able to repurpose that. And the other insight I will give you is please do not change an existing planning artifact that is equivalent to a SAMP and just call it a SAMP for the sake of it. You do not need to. It is important that you reuse what you have in your organization, not reinvent. Very key. So in summary, the SAMP takes the organizational objectives and converts them into lower order objectives, often referred to as asset management objectives, but you might just call them objectives, and that's fine. Because when you hand those asset management objectives off to your AMP, your asset management plan, you have then got the connection, and really that's what your asset management system's doing. It's joining the top-down objectives with the bottom-up resourcing needs to actually underpin value and capability delivery. An asset management plan, or AMP, as they're often referred to around the world, is how an organization in that particular scope sets out to achieve the objectives set out from the SAMP above it. Okay, so organizational objectives are the why, your SAMP is what, well, your AMP is how you would do that. How you would do that would also come down to resourcing. What people do I need? Maybe how much money do I need? The budget, CapEx, OpEx. And organizations that are really embracing the framework of asset management will start to look at more forecasting. What is my need into the future? An AMP has the most power when people in operations can articulate how they will achieve the objectives above them, but how they will also consider cost, risk, and performance to do so. An AMP, when done well and understood by the greater organization, will also lead to knowledge transfer, because last year's AMP becomes this year's AMP and it's a rolling consideration. What often happens is we have a policy that's written for asset management. There's a very loose SAMP, or people try to create a combined SAMP and AMP. Yeah, if you want to do that, that's fine. But be very clear in that document artifact that the SAMP explains what you're going to do to achieve the organizational objectives, where an AMP demonstrates how you will do so. Really key difference. But when each artifact is laid out in that hierarchy, it connects nicely, it's auditable, but most importantly, people in operations have the opportunity to coordinate their activity to realize value through assets. Another key advantage of an AMP when done well, when it is a how document, is prioritization becomes that much easier. If I have two bridges, for instance, both are at an equivalent state of disrepair or condition, well, the SAMP has determined the asset management objectives above that. So when I'm making a decision, which bridge do I service or invest in next, I can actually empower the asset manager to make that decision, because they will always prioritize against the asset management objectives above them. When there aren't asset management objectives above operations through a SAMP, you are leaving the asset manager to make decisions, and what will happen is you'll get bias and preference for which asset's more important versus which service is more important. Because again, your asset management objectives coming from your SAMP above reflect the needs of service delivery, not so much the needs of your assets. And the question I get asked often regarding an AMP is, you could have an AMP based on an asset class or a type of class, like bridges, buildings, infrastructure, etc. You could have an asset management plan based around geography, service delivery. It is completely up to the organization. So when you're going through this process, sometimes people think to have only one AMP across their whole organization works well for them. Great. But what you're losing out on is the ability for your operations to feed that information back up so that you can make informed decisions to support, enable, and assist your organization to deliver against cost, risk, and performance.